Welcome to A Word in Season with Doug Stringer and friends. We share good news and godly wisdom to empower you to be salt and light in every season of life. In this inspiring conversation with Barry McGuire, founder of Ignite America, you will hear how to overcome fear with effortless faith, why your business, career, or platform can be a pulpit, the joy of simple obedience, and encouragement for challenging seasons. If you've ever felt hesitant to share your faith or wondered how to live boldly in today's culture, Barry's story will equip and encourage you to step out with fearless faith. After the episode, consider leaving a review and follow us on your favorite streaming service. If you've gleaned anything from this podcast, consider paying it forward with a gift at somebodycares.org. Now let's join our host, Doug Stringer.
We're really privileged today to have Barry McGuire, who's the president of McGuire Car Wax, the number one car wax in America. He's the founder and president of Ignite America, the host of Ignite Your Life Television, the Ignite with Barry McGuire podcast, and Ignite with Barry McGuire one-minute radio features that air daily on over 1,000 Christian radio stations. Wow. Barry's book, Ignite Your Life, also has hit Amazon's bestsellers list. Barry and his wife, Karen, have been married for 60 years, live in Paradise Valley, Arizona. Barry, I think we first met through the NRB. Of course, Matt Brown, our mutual friend, reconnected us and encouraged me to have you on our podcast. And I thought, what a great idea. So thank you for taking the time today to be a part of our Transforming Leadership in our podcast.
Well, thank God for Matt Brown. He's the quintessential networker of all of us who have these shared values and passions, and he keeps putting us together.
And absolutely.
This is one of the best. So thank you for having me on your show today. I'm greatly honored. I'm sitting here in a visiting office. I'm not at my home studio. I'm in Newport Beach, and the internet went out. And so I've come down to the leasing manager's office, and she's been so gracious to allow me to use her office in an emergency here so we could talk. But here we are. And we're good to go.
I was telling you earlier that one of my mentors, the late Dr. Evan Lewis Cole, who is the founder of the Christian Men's Network, author of many, many books. I'm still on the board of directors. He's actually buried there in Newport Beach. When he was pastoring there many, many years ago, he used to walk the jetties every morning to talk to God and pray. And so we spent time over there as well, many of us who are like spiritual sons and daughters, to take time to pray in the very spots that he would walk and pray every morning. Something I've learned through the late Leonard Ravenhill and Dr. Evan Lewis Cole, David Wilkerson, and others, that the power that we have in life is really in the hidden place, in the place of prayer. And I know that's a value that you have in your life as well, that prayer is important, and what we do in our private posture has everything to do with our public influence or lack of it.
Of course, you're talking about many of my mentors, Leonard Ravenhill, the godly man. I got to know him well. I sat one day, David Wilkerson and I ended up becoming, I mean, God has a sense of humor. I pedal car wax. And all of a sudden, God moves Dave Wilkerson from New York City to Irvine, California, a block from my house. Wow. But we didn't meet there. We met at a church that he decided he would go to. And we walked in not even knowing if it was Assemblies of God. We were just at a sojourn trying to find a church in the area. And we walked right into Dave and Gwen Wilkerson. And that began a 40-year relationship that we had that was just radically changed my life. But he hosted Leonard Ravenhill for the latter years of his life. And I would sit in the study with David Wilkerson and Leonard Ravenhill sharing their thoughts. And I remember sitting there thinking, I pedal car wax. God, what on earth are you doing with me that I'm sitting here in Texas at this moment listening to these two bastions of godly wisdom sharing each other, and I'm just soaking it in, you know. We have the same heroes.
Wow, that's amazing. I would have a form of a reverential fear and trepidation when I'd sit with Brother Ravenhill in his home in that study. Very landmark moments, very impactful moments that I still remember today, and of course, the influence that David's had in my life. Gary Wilkerson was just with us here in Houston for one of our summits. The son of David Wilkerson, and he's doing great things as well.
Well, I've known Gary since he's 12 years old.
We're
great friends. I chair his ministry, World Challenge. I'm the chairman of that ministry, and the work that ministry does to reach out to disenfranchised women across the world is just amazing. I'm so proud to be a part of that organization and see Gary carrying on the passion of his dad, in an entirely new way.
Definitely a very small world after all, right? What brought you to this relationship with the Lord?
Well, I'd like to spend a very little part on my story and talk about God's story because it's not about me. But yes, I was born and raised in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. My parents before me, and my grandparents all came go to country. I have no excuse. It's come down through the generations. His promise, his faithfulness goes down through 1,000 generations who love, but they have to love God and live for his purpose, live for his, honor his commandments. And fortunately, my dad was one of 12 kids, the only one of 12 kids who actually did that. The rest of them did not serve the Lord and did not end up well. My mother is one of three daughters. The other two did not serve God. She honored God. And through both of my parents, it came down to me. I am so unbelievably blessed. I just every day I say, God, how is this possible? But knowing that, I graduated from college. Our business started in 1901 by my grandfather. Was at that point doing about $600,000 a year, and I wanted to grow it, and I didn't know how. And I just God inspired me to go into the retail market. We were buffing cars in garages. I was very good with a machine polisher and buffing cars in the dirtiest, grimiest body shops you could possibly imagine at the time. And in the process, he inspired me to go retail. I said, God, I don't know anything about retail, but my favorite verse is Proverbs 3:5. Trust the Lord with your whole heart and don't depend on your own understanding. And so I told God, this is easy for me. I don't have any understanding. I don't have a clue about retail. So I'm just going to follow your lead. And it's too long a story. I could talk for hours about the miracles that he brought and the people he brought into my life, and it was one miracle after another as I trusted him. I mean, I really trusted him. And now, yes, we're the number one selling car wax in America by far, and in many countries around the world. And I look back over those 30, 40 years of 12-hour days, and I don't even think of the work. I remember the miracles. Yes, I worked hard. I love my business. I love waxing cars. I love a shiny car. I'm a car guy. But I'm here in Newport Beach. I'm also a beach guy. I love boats, sand, water, swimming. I love meals. I love sports. I'm into all that. I'm not a flat-sided guy. But I do know that when I get to heaven, it's not going to matter how many bottles of car wax I sold. It's a joke or anything else. The only thing that's going to matter when you folks, you or I, get to heaven, the only thing that's going to matter is how many people are in heaven because of our influence. Nothing else matters. I have friends in Washington fighting for a public policy. Man, they're all in, and thank God we have people doing that. But at the end of the day, they haven't led one person to the Lord. I'm focused on getting as many people into heaven as possible. The way I see the world is God's given us this. He made us for heaven. He didn't make us for this world. He made us for heaven. And this, our short time on earth is, as I see it, a boot camp. And we can muster out, or we can win the prize and the award to go on. And the point being, he gives us enough time to figure out who he is, and then enough time to decide if we want to serve him or this world as our God. And if we receive him as our Lord and Savior, as our God, then from then until the end of our lives, our overwhelming most important purpose is to get as many people into heaven as possible before it's too late. We're in that last lap right now. And yes,
Amen.
I still work hard. I do all the things I'm supposed to do, but God blesses anything and everything that we do if we're using it as a tool, if you will, to lead
Yes.
people to Jesus. Let me give you an example. In 1976, I thought I was supposed to go into full-time ministry after he was blessing the retail part. It was starting to roll, and I'm getting excited. I've been seeing miracles. But I got into conviction because I'm sharing my faith so often. I think he wants me to go into full-time ministry. So I closed the office of my door one day, and I said, God, you have to tell me what I'm supposed to do. And I'll do it, whatever it is. If you want me to leave my business, I'll leave it immediately. But you're almost going to have to speak to me in an audible voice. About 20 minutes later, a guy walked into my office I'd never met. His name was Dave McNutt. I knew who he was. He went to our church. I knew he was a missionary kid, grew up in Africa because he spoke from the platform a couple of times. And but I never even exchanged a glance with this guy. And here he is walking in my office. Hi, Barry, how you doing? Just I stopped by. How's it going? And so I knee-jerked and figured missionary kid, my age, but missionary kid, probably not into cool cars and painted shiny paint finishes. So I said, yeah, it's great, but why would you? I know it. So I started telling stories about sharing my faith. And he quickly said, God's given you a wonderful ministry here, hadn't he? At that point, it was like a slap in the face. I said, why would you say that? He said, well, it's obvious that as a businessman, you can lead people to the Lord easily. You can reach people that a pastor can't reach. And he says, it's obvious that your business is your pulpit. That was 1976. I said, that's unbelievable. Let me tell you this prayer I just prayed. And I told him, he said, well, that explains it. I said, explains what? He says, I just dropped missionaries off at Orange County Airport. I was driving up Red Hill, which is the closest main street to my office in Irvine, California. And God spoke to me and said, go see Barry McGuire. And I said, God, I don't know. I've seen the sign in the building I put together. He's the guy at the church, but I don't know him. I don't know what kind of business he's in. I'll make a fool of myself. But God would not let me go. And as I walked into your office just now, my heart was beating so hard. It was in my throat. I didn't know what to say. I said, how's it going? That was
Wow.
1976. This is 2025. And guess what? My business is still my pulpit. He's blessed my business, not because he's into car wax and shiny cars. He's blessed my business because I've used my business as a pulpit. It gives me more opportunity, more visibility, and more credibility, if you will, to talk about the Lord to everybody I meet. And it's just a blast. Move everybody. The theme of our ministry, Ignite America, is move everybody every day closer to Jesus. And stop trying to get them saved on the spot. Just love on them. He says they'll know you're my disciple by your love, not by your Bible knowledge and recitation and your goodness and all this, by your love. And when you love, when you allow God to love them through you, it's a spiritual experience.
That's a great example. What you said earlier was that the importance of the harvest, because the story of even the Samaritan woman, and Jesus had been ministering to her at the well. His disciples came over and said, you need to eat. He said, I have food you don't even know of. And then he said, look up from where? Your own 2 feet. Look up and see the fields are ripe and wide into harvest. In other words, our fulfillment, our satisfaction is not in just what we get to do for ourselves, but in what God gives us in stewardship to minister to others in the harvest.
That's exactly it. And it is food. If you think sharing your faith is being an apologist and having all the information, and it's like we all want to be Charlies now, right? I just wrote on this. Yeah, we all should be Charlies, but we're not going to have his intellect. We can't possibly do that. But the essence of Charlie loved those who opposed him. And he was committed, not in these words, but he was committed by what we say in our ministry, move everybody every day closer to Jesus. So he loved the dialogue because he wanted to move everybody he talked to, those that hated him, move them closer to Jesus. And when you do that, and it's so simple, you just love on people. That's the extent of your responsibility. If you just love on people and mention Jesus' name in the process, well, that must break God's heart. I'll pray for you on this. Say something that's not offending anybody, but just so they hear God in the midst of your compassion, in the midst of your love. You know what happens? At that point, I can tell. I've been doing it for 50 years, Carrie and I both. Within 5 minutes, they'll open up and say something that will put a finger on their need. It often is, oh, God can't love me. Not after all, he can't love. That's a beautiful one, you know. But here's the big point, folks. When you're sharing your faith, he just said they'll know you're my disciple by your love, because at that point he takes up the slack. You can't prepare for these conversations, particularly when you're having them regularly throughout the day. The Holy Spirit, Luke 12, 12, the Holy Spirit will give you the word to say when you need them. And he does it every time. He gives you words, and at that moment, that very moment, you understand that you're right where God wants you to be. You're right here. He orchestrated the conversation, and now he's speaking through you. That's intimacy with God that you can't have any other way. That ignites your life. We have a book. I've written a self-plug there right quick, but ignite your life, and it's about that. It's that he wants you to share your faith to ignite your life. You want to get out of your doldrums, out of your fear, no more fear. The bottom line of our book is here is defeat fear with effortless faith. Effortless. I try and try not to have fear. I still have fear. You have effortless faith when you live for God's purpose. His purpose is to seek and save the lost. Everybody knows that. But Romans 8:28 says that, and we don't pay attention to it. But he's very clear and he's deliberate and he means it. He's God. I'll make everything in your life work together for good when you love me. And you live for my purpose. To those who live for my purpose, to those who live to seek and save the lost, to those who move everybody or committed to move everybody every day closer to Jesus. When you do that, you defeat fear automatically. You don't have to try because you know you're in the center of His will and you're living in His promise. So, I mean, this is the exciting part of being. If you're not doing this, folks, you haven't really experienced the joy of being a Christian.
It's said that only 1% of Christians share their faith.
That's true.
Obviously, you're in the 1%, and we need to get more people who have that passion in whatever they're doing. Their ministry is their marketplace business, ministry, school teachers, whatever we're doing, we are to be the representations of Christ in a very tangible way to those around us. How do you address the fact that only 1% of Christians actually share their faith?
First off, the fields are white for harvest right now. I mean, thank you, Charlie. He was my friend. I didn't think life could go on. I could hardly stand up with the news. But by the next day, I looked around and saw that there is revival everywhere. Everybody's talking about the Lord. It's amazing. And most Christians are saying, what can I do? Well, you can't change Washington. You can't change laws. The public read all that, but you can't change the world, folks. You can't do that. But you could change your world. You could start that right now. And you do that by making a vow, pledge, whatever, a promise, just a determination in your life. From this point forward, I'm going to move everybody every day closer to Jesus. That's it. And when you do that, you'll be amazed. You just be amazed at that point. The moment you start doing it, you step in the promise of Romans 8:28. You're living for His purpose. The extraordinary experience I'm talking about when you're sharing and He's actually giving you the words to say and the life is being changed in front of you and God just used you. That ignites your life. That's the reason if I dare put it up one more time. That's why I wrote this book. Ignite your, I don't make any money off the book, but it's full of scriptures that drive this point home. This is what life's all about. Now, there's nothing else you do today that will have any value when you get to heaven except those that you move closer to Jesus, and not by trying to get them into heaven, not by trying to force them, not by pointing their iniquities out, but just loving on them. God's already working on them. The Holy Spirit's working on everybody around you. When God leads you into speaking to them, you're actually joining a process He's already started. It's a sacred moment. Folks, we don't have anything secular in our lives. Forget about the secular. Do you realize everything you say and everything you do is moving everybody watching you closer or further away from God? And that changes us. That's why he said, when you love me, you love your neighbor as yourself, you fulfill the entire law. Not out of being lawful, not out of trying to be judicial and try to accomplish all these things, just out of joy. When you love your neighbor as yourself, you want to do everything you can to attain their salvation. Their salvation becomes as important as your salvation. And when you live in that zone, guess what happens? Not only are lives being saved and your life is being filled, but he orchestrates the rest of your life. And when you're running a car wax company, all of a sudden becomes the biggest car wax company in the United States. It's connected. It's not one or the other. I'm a normal guy with normal passions, and I do all the normal things in life. But in everything, I don't care if I'm in the tennis court. I don't care if I'm in the boardroom. I don't care if I'm at a family dinner or a party, wherever. I'm never a skosh away from recognizing that everything I do and say, in the big moments, the sad moments, when things go wrong, what comes out of my mouth? Is it faith? When I'm exclaiming, when USC won the football game, I'm a fan, okay? I wasn't exclaiming profanity and stuff. I'm just saying, thank you for giving me this privilege, God. I just have so much fun. All good things come from God. Let's give him credit. And let's don't give him credit in the quiet of our lives, but praise God. he's doing these things for about and run to hide it or bushel basket, exclaim it. People want reality. This is the reality of our lives, and we get to express it. And when we do that honestly from the abundance of our hearts, as Charlie did every single day, people listen. It changes lives and makes our lives important.
He overcame fear along with other friends like Ray Comfort. And in fact, Ray Comfort and I first met each other in Christchurch, New Zealand.
It's awesome.
Many, back in the 80s, we were passing out tracts, talking to people. And that's how I first met Ray Comfort and been friends ever since. We have to overcome fear. Your book talks about 80% of Americans are living in fear. But the bottom headline on your book says, we can defeat fear from effortless faith. And you have scriptures to prove that. So your book really is about overcoming these fears with effortless faith.
Satan's number one tool that he used against us is fear. Most Christians are living in fear. And when we are living in fear, we're basically telling God, I don't trust you. That's what we're saying. And Satan laughs at you. Do you want Satan laughing at you? I don't think so. But you can't accomplish faith by willing it to happen because it's supernatural. I tried it for a couple of decades. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, God. But the more I tried to trust, the more I doubted. But then when I started sharing my faith, fear went away because I'm living for his purpose. And God says, when I live for his purpose, he makes everything good. Let me give you a quick illustration. I have many. I had a joint venture partner purchase half of my company. At the point when I was 65 years old, I found out the next morning he's going to throw me out of my business. He'd overtaken the board and turned them against me, and he was throwing me out of my business the next day. I'm 65 years old. The next morning, I'm losing my business. I'll still have stock, but my income stopped, my reputation, my testimony, everything's gone, and there's nothing I can do about it except my God. So that night, when I went in the bedroom, I prayed really the shortest prayer of my life. I prayed about a 3-minute prayer, and I laughed. You'd think that I would be in tears and petrified, and God help me. I just said, God, I ask you for nothing. I ask you for nothing because you know I live for your purpose. I do it all day long. It's not a gray area. That's what I do. I live for your purpose. And I know you honor your word, and I'm good. I always say this before I say it because it may sound fictitious or braggadocious. It's not that. It's what faith is. God strike me dead if it didn't happen this way. I laid down. I went to sleep. I did not toss and turn. I never woke up until I woke up the next morning fresh. And I went to take that conference call. Everybody was in their own offices. I went to take that conference call in my attorney's office. And there, with everybody in their speakerphone, God turned my joint venture partner upside down in about 8 minutes. And they're finally cussing me. They're saying, effing you and GD this and that. And they can't see me. And when the phone ended, I said, God, I was toast. All I had was you, but I had you and I knew it. And I had faith before the storm. David Wilkerson preached a great message years back. Right song, wrong side. Powerful. So Moses, they're following Moses, and everything's great. Moses, oh, you're wonderful. Till they get there, then there's the water. You know, and if you go back and read it through my eyes, it was horrible for Moses. But it's just like, are you kidding me? We could have died back there, but oh no, you had to bring. And then the water parted. They get the other side. You know all that. I don't explain all that to everybody. But what do? They built an altar and they sang. Okay, David Wilkerson said, right song, wrong side. Wrong side. Before he solves the problem, rejoice. Before, because you know in advance. And I experienced that. I've experienced that so many times since. I was in the hospital dying. The doctors gave up on me. It's 4:30 in the morning. They're rushing me to surgery. My daughter, Nicole McGuire, was running beside me as fast as she can. She's yelling. And she wasn't saying, I'm praying for you, Dad. It's going to be okay, Dad. Keep the faith, Dad. She didn't say any of that. You know, she was yelling at me. This is your testimony, Dad. This is your testimony. I'm thinking, what? This is my testimony. Also, I realized what she meant. Yes, I know I'm fine. I have no fear. I know I'm going to be fine. This is my testimony. Boom, went into that surgery. I rejoiced before it. Folks, if you're in the middle of a battle right now, Here's your way out. Forget about it. Stop praying about it. Stop agonizing. Use it. You know, our testimonies are more powerful when we're under duress. When we got the report of cancer, when your child died, I lost a 49-year-old daughter. I know of which I speak. When you're in those tough moments, God is there. He's up to something. Your joy in the midst of sorrow. Yes, you have tears. Yes, you have grief. But you have joy because our Savior lives and He's in control. And your powerful testimony will never be more powerful than in those moments. If you're having problems right now, use it. Use it and use that platform He's given you to move everybody you talk to closer to Jesus. When I was dying in the hospital, I resolved, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die trying moving as many people as possible into heaven. And I kept looking instead of paying attention to my dying status and my pain. I watched for the next person to walk in the door. He was my next victim, he or she. So when you live your life like that, it's victory. Nobody can stop us, and it's contagious. People want to have faith that they can use. It's practical for our lives. This is how you do it. You just love on people and move everybody every day closer to Jesus.
There was a statistic in 2023 by the American Worldview Inventory. It was reposted by Christian Post. It said that in 2020, about 60% of born-again Christians believed in the sinless life of Jesus when he walked the earth. In 2023, it was down to 44%. We've digressed so far that even born-again Christians are questioning the sinless life of Jesus. And I think we've come into a place where we've not stayed in the presence of worship and prayer, fellowship, getting in his word. Because right away, your book is riddled with scripture. You validate everything that you've been sharing through scripture and stories. But yet we've seen where we are today. If that was 2023, do you believe we're ready for and ripe for a great awakening or a great outpouring of God in these kinds of circumstances?
Well, it's happening, but let me tell you, I'm actually in the middle of an op-ed of how far we have fallen. And of course, when I was a kid, it wasn't a matter of if you went to church, it's a matter of what church did you go to. And as I traveled the country, I traveled from the 60s on all over. No matter what church I went to, the songs were the same songs. They may have been hokey, but they were the same songs. The message was the same message. It may have been hokey, it may have been professional, it was the same message. And those altars were always there. And I could always go down and pray to seek God. And when I was young, to get saved, they would have altar services. We don't know what those are today. Where after the preaching, you sang songs like Just As I Am, and we would tarry until someone was convicted and moved forward to the altar, and then believers would gather around them and pray them through to salvation. Now, only 10% of our churches even mention salvation anymore. That's by a huge research of 6,000 sermons by Pew Research. Only 10% of our churches are even preaching salvation. It's staggering. But even then, the message has been so watered down. The singing we're singing, the mindless choruses we're singing today, and I don't mind saying that because the source of them, believe it or not, is coming from an organization owned by Blackstone, this ungodly perpetrator of DI in America and the world, and they own the organization that actually distributes the music to 230,000 churches around the world, written by people who are not Christians, written directed by people. You write two songs this week, 100 songs every year. There's no anointing. They're not even scripture, and there's no clearinghouse, and they just send them out. And here's the worst part that you touched on. I don't even know what an evangelical is anymore. You look at what they believe, and I don't call myself an evangelical anymore. Around 50%, and some say as low as 43% of our senior pastors still hold a biblical worldview, and it's not a difficult one. Jesus, the Son of God, was born from a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross. It's very basic. Less than half of our pastors and assistant pastors down into the 40 percentile. In our youth pastors, it's down into the 30 to a high 20 percentile. And our music ministers, it's down into the teens. And we're trusting our children to go on that youth trip, most likely being led by youth pastors that doesn't even have a biblical worldview. And we're wondering, we're not, you grow up the children in the ways of the Lord, and then when they grow old, they'll not depart from it. We're not teaching them. We're entertaining them. We're not getting people saved. If all the people in churches across America that raise their hands every day really received the Lord, we'd be a Christian country, but we're not. We've minimized everything, and we got to get to the next service and move them on and get them out. And it's all production. God help us. The scripture says, how are the lost going to know unless somebody tells them? And who's going to tell unless they're sent? The church has stopped sending us. In the best of our churches that are even talking salvation and souls and be a witness are not telling us how. That's why our ministry of Ignite America in this book, Ignite Your Life, is shouting the message. You don't need to be sent yourself. You've got all you need. God loves you. Just go out. And he says it so simply. Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciple by your love. By your love. You don't have to be trained. You know, the most prolific faith sharers are new Christians. They don't know scripture, but they're full of love. God has overwhelmed them, and his love flows through those about. That should be how we live our lives every day.
Well, I love how you've addressed two primary questions that I ask successful leaders. You've answered both of them. One is obviously your own personal journey and love for the Lord. What do you do? We know what you do and what God's done in what you do. But the second question is, why do you do what you do? And that's obvious, your passion for the Lord and for people. And then the other is, so many people only see from social media, the advent of social media, the successes of people, but they don't really hear the stories of the challenges they've gone through to be successful. And you've shared some of those unexpected detours that came when someone tried to take over your company or when you were going through health issues. And yet, through it all, you can continue to praise him through it, even those opportunities the enemy meant for harm, and turn it for good.
People often say too much. It bothers me. Oh, well, if I had Barry's beautiful wife and his business and his car, I'd be happy too. They have no idea. We've had more challenges than most. Few people have had the challenges we've had in our lives. And hey, guess what? I was an introvert. It's not my personality. When I started doing this, I was an introvert. I literally hid behind my wife. She's never met a stranger. And I'd hide behind her business conferences. And then after she engaged the conversation, I'd kind of come around and say, oh, hi, I'm her husband. It's so much fun. This is what life's all about. This is what life's all about. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. And the world is desperate for it. I grieved over Charlie until the next day, as I was starting to say. But I look around now and I see worldwide people talking about Jesus. We have been praying, our ministry has been praying for years for something to shake the church, to get their attention so they'll be wanting to do something more and just not huddle down and, wait for the rapture. This is it. God has used Charlie to shake the church to its core. And now the question is, so what do we do? What do we do? This is what you do. It's real simple. It takes no money. You just move everybody every day closer. You love on them. You love on the worst. I love loving people who are tattooed and green-haired and pierced and whatever. They can't figure me out. I'm an old white guy. I should be hating them, and I'm loving on them. And they open up, and I have the most wonderful conversation with people who don't look like me. The message of love permeates everybody. Our youth are starving. Here's somebody with some experiences. God loves you. I have credibility because of my age. Do you know God loves you? No. He can't love me. I was on a plane next to a guy. She said, he can't love me. I'm in a relationship with a woman. And I laughed. I said, you obviously don't know God. What? You obviously don't know God. God loves you. Oh, no. No, he'll never love me. I'm sorry, but I know the scriptures. And I can tell you, he loves you. In fact, he loves you as much as he's ever loved anybody. In fact, he loves you. He loves you as much as he loves his own son, Jesus Christ. That's how much he loves you. And he wants you to spend eternity with him. That stops people in their tracks because they want to believe that and they can't believe it. And then a Christian who knows God and the Holy Spirit, more important, see, well, God loves us. He's really salvationing us. His love is about bringing us to him. And when we love on other people, he's salvationing them. It's not our love, it's his love, his salvation love. Every conversation we have is important. It's not secular because in that conversation, even with Christians, he is salvationing through us. He's salvationing everybody we talk to. That's powerful. Take nothing for granted. Everywhere dynamic that's going on. We have no idea what's going on in the lives of our friends. You
You know,
ask
it's amazing.
a casual person, is there anything we can pray for you? But you do it with your server when they're taking your order. I've half the time they'll break down and cry. They all right below the happiness and joyfulness, there's tears and hurt. And we're not reaching them, not because we don't love them, it's because we don't care. It's apathy. God help us to not have apathy. We just don't care. We're surrounded, every one of us, every one of you're surrounded by people going to hell every day. You're their only hope. Well, how do I reach them? You love on them. Go over them, talk to them, ask them about that too. Tell me about your tattoo. You find a way to engage and you have credibility with them and let them know in the process you're a Christian. And I guarantee you, folks, within 5 minutes, they'll open up and give you a peek into where they're hurting. And then the Holy Spirit gives you the words to say to heal that hurt, to speak to them, and they'll know that's God. And their life is being changed, but you're being changed because you know right at that moment God is using you. How would you like to be in the moment, in moments every day where you know you're exactly where you're supposed to be, and God is speaking to you, to somebody that's hurting and lost? That ignites your life. That's what life's all about. And if we start doing that, can you imagine there's 30 million born again Christians in America? What if 10%? What if just 3 million of us decided today that from this point forward, I'm going to start moving everybody every day closer to Jesus? We'd have revival. We could change America in 30 days if we just decide, nobody's sending me, I'm going to send myself. Let me show you one more quick thing before we end. We have these great cards. You can get them off our website, igniteamerica.com. They're free. You can't give us any money, by the way. Our ministry is Ignite America. You can't send us any money. It's all about ministry. This is all about you. There's no passwords. You don't put your give us your name. You just go in, it's pure ministry. But it tells you how to share your faith. When you have that conversation, and you have it several times a day, once you get going, you're going to be looking for the next one and the next one and the next one. And at the end of that, probably more normally a 5 minute conversation, you ask this question. You say, it sounds like you'd like to know more about God. 1,000% of the time, they'll say, yes. Yes, I would like to know, because you have just perked their interest and they're hungry. They're already hungry, but now you've got no one. You're starting to focus their interest. Wow. Sounds like you'd like to know more about God. And they always say, yes. And you say, do I have something for you? There's a website called seekinggod.org. And if you go to this website, it'll tell you everything you want to know about God, tell you how much he loves you, how he has a plan for your life. It'll tell you how he wants you to spend eternity with him. They'll take this card. Sometimes they almost hug it. I can get all that off this card. Oh, yeah, it's a website. Go to it. You're gonna love this website. You can get these free, folks, and pastors. You can get the artwork from us, because a lot of churches are taking this and they're putting their church name on the back. There's a pastor, my pastor Jack Hibbs, in California, Chino Hills, California, Calvary Chapel. He's printed more than 20,000 of these with Calvary Chapel, because once they get interested, where they go to church? Hey, I can go to Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Pastors is available to you. But Christian, if you want to complete the process, just love on people, get their interest, and give them this card, seeking God, knowing when you walk away, you've given them the tool that will lead them into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Wow.
That's awesome. You make it so simple. In fact, I was just in Brazil a few weeks ago, multiple cities ministering. And I remember being in a restaurant and asked if I could pray for one of the waitresses. She began to get teary-eyed. The next thing you know, all the other wait staff come over to the, can you pray for me? I think there is a hunger level of longing in people. They just need the ministry of presence. They need God's people to have the ministry of presence, because it's not about performance. It's about being present. It's about bringing the presence of God in us into our situations. And I believe that, as you said, I've never had anybody turn me down from praying for, when I was going through chemo, I never had an individual turn me down to pray for them or take communion with them. Every situation or adversity becomes an opportunity for God to show up. And it really isn't about the performance. It really is about the presence of God.
And the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Folks, your only job is to love on people, quite frankly. And after that, he takes over. He takes over. I appreciate apologetics. Okay. We're all saying we all need to be Charlies right now. That theme is we're all Charlies, but we don't have Charlie's intellect and gift to articulate scripture. We don't have that, but you don't have to have that. It's more than that. It's Charlie's heart. It's the Holy Spirit that spoke through him through his own way. But I've never been asked a question I can't answer. I mean, how do you answer questions? Those questions come to Charlie because they're radicals. And they're fine too. They're trying to find a way to get in between and show they can know God. That doesn't happen in real life. People are just hurting. People around you are hurting. Almost everybody is hurting and they want love. Nobody cares. It's on your doorstep. Wherever you be today, you'll be surrounded by people that are hurting, they're starving, and want to know where God is. And you come in and you love on them. And you mention something about God. And wait a minute. Well, what about this? And you end up with these conversations you never dreamed you'd have in a million years. And then God gives you the words to say. That's a supernatural experience. There's no other way in life to have that kind of intimacy with God. I'll give you a last scripture. This is powerful. From Genesis to Revelation, he's telling you, proclaim the good news. I mean, in a million ways, you got to share your faith. It's the Great Commission. Do you get it? Do it, do it, do it. I mean, the Bible is strong on that. We got to do it. But why? Do you know what's secondarily about winning the lost? That's secondary. God's focus on you is you. And he knows when you're sharing your faith, you'll be in the Word, not out of being religious or rote or obligatory. But you're being asked questions you don't know. And so at the end of the day, man, you're digging and you're learning. You get out the concordances, you're in the Word, and you're praying because you're praying for Jane and John and Roger and all the people he brought into your life that day. God be with them. And you're praying for the people you'll be with tomorrow. You're in the game. You're not just doing it out of rote. I mean, you can do that, but it's challenging and it's tiring and it's effortless and it's you. As opposed to just going out and sharing your faith, and then it all your life, your prayer life, your Bible study, everything turns on. That's the exciting part of it. You want to have a turn on life. I'm 83 years old, okay? And every day I have more joy because I'm always coming off one of these experiences. You cannot believe what just happened just now. That's the life God has planned for you and why you've tuned into this program today to hear this message. I guarantee you, God wants you to start right now. And I beg you to tell God right now in your mind with your audible voice, God, starting right now, I can start moving everybody, move everybody, everybody. Not one a day, move everybody every day closer to Jesus. Praise God.
You've been provoked, exhorted, challenged, encouraged by Barry's life testimony, as well as all the information he's provided and resources that we can utilize. I want to just say, in response to something I mentioned earlier, that in 2023, the American Worldview Inventory was quoted in the Christian Post of their research that 44% of born-again Christians believed in the sinless life of Jesus, where just 2 years before, almost 60% believed in the sinless life of Jesus. I think Barry addressed it well, that we've become a church that has no longer preached the gospel, salvation, and being sent and being the preachers it speaks of in Romans to take the gospel to those around us. I was asked, along with R.T. Kendall and others, to respond to those statistics for a magazine. And one of the things I wrote in there was actually to quote Leonard Ravenhill, but I also said there are two questions that we need to answer for ourselves. Will we remain complacent in our comfortable circumstances? Or will we please God and lovingly minister to others in hopes of turning them to the Lord? And second, will we speak God's truth even when it's not popular? I often say, speak the truth in love, seasoned in grace, but speak the truth nonetheless. And finally, Leonard Ravenhill, I quoted him out of his book, Why Revival Tarries. He said, this generation of preachers is responsible for this generation of sinners. At the very doors of our churches are the masses unwon because they are unreached, unreached because they are unloved. Sin today is both glamorized and popularized, thrown into the ear by radio, thrown into the eye by television, and splashed in popular magazine covers. Churchgoers, sermon sick and teaching tired, leave the meeting as they entered it, visionless and passionless. Oh God, give us this perishing generation. Give us 10,000 John the Baptists. I believe we are in need of a forerunner generation. I see a multi-generational connection that's happening, preparing the way for revival and the coming of the Lord. And I do see God is raising up a corporate generation of John the Baptist, those who are preparing the way and saying yes to God. And I know today, hearing Barry's heart, listening to his story, that you've been provoked also, that we don't have to live in fear, but we can be fearless and we can be ignited by God and full of the Holy Spirit to be in the ministry of presence, to bring the presence of God to whomever and wherever we go. Barry, would you give us any closing comments and also pray for everyone?
It's time to take personal responsibility for our lives. I have two great pastors in Arizona. I go to Dream City Church. We had the Barnett family, Tommy Barnett, Luke is pastor there now. They're on fire. And every service there's an altar call, and I'm fed every Sunday. And then when I'm in California, I go to Jack Hibbs Church. He blows the roof off. It's incredible. But fact is, 90% of our churches are not preaching salvation. If you're in a church that's not preaching salvation, folks, get there. Run. Don't walk. You have to get to somewhere where you're being fed. You have to take personal responsibility. You can't say, well, my pastor does it. It doesn't matter. Your accountability, God, is for your own actions. And if you're not getting beat up at church, something's wrong. I want to get slapped. I want to get beat up. I want to be sore. I want to get pushed back into action when I go to church. It is this message of salvation. And there's never been a moment like this, perhaps in the history of the world, where the entire world, what is it, 14 countries holding vigils for Charlie Kirk. They reported 150,000. They said more like 3 million people in England at that rally on the weekend. And that's a godless country. God is moving by his Holy Spirit. And as gracious as, yes, he allowed Charlie to be taken out of breath. He had one breath he was doing what he loved more than anything else. Next breath he was with Jesus. I mean, what a way to go. He'll take care of Erica. There's pain there. I know that. And I also know the real pain is with the shooter and his family and the turmoil. We need to pray for them because God loves them. We can't allow the bitterness of this world to shape us. We got to realize that God loves everybody. God loves the people we hate. We have no right to hate. They're broken. You understand that the world is lost. I can name the people in Washington. You must surely hate. Most of us do. It's easy to hate them. They're not evil. They're lost. And God loves them. And God wants them to spend eternity with him. We're on his team. And when we get on this team, it's no longer about, I'm not going to fear anymore. It's that the fear just goes away. It's a non-issue. Allow God's love to flow through you supernaturally to everybody around you. You have no idea what plans he has for you. Father God, we thank you for our audience today. You brought people into this broadcast that we're not even expecting, certainly not to expect to hear this message of hope, not despair. And it's not hard. It's not agony. It's not, you got to buckle down and do all these hard things and memorize this stuff and get your points down and tell your story. None of that. It's freedom. Allow you to just love people through us. It's freedom. God, you know why I feel every day? I'm free. Nothing can hurt me. Nothing, nothing. My days are appointed just like they were for Charlie. My days are appointed. Nothing can happen to me unless you allow it to happen for your glory. I'm good with that. Boy, am I good with that. There's that freedom you have for all of us. Who you set free is free indeed. That's joy. That's happiness. That's the end of fear. Who among that are listening to me, I don't want to be free of fear. Don't be afraid of anything. They've just lost their job. They just got cancer. All the horrible things are going on right now. You can face those, folks. Folks, we thank you, God, that we can face those without fear. Knowing you're going to use every one of those circumstances when we allow you to bring glory to you. Use those experiences, everything. God, you know the hard, the harsh, the horrible things that happened in my life were the spiritual growth spurts of my life. I thank you for every one of those at the time. They were tough. They were horrible. But I praise you through all of them. I never lost my joy. And you took those bad things and made them into good things and crowns of my life. God, that's what you want to do with everybody listening to us today. Help us to get off the bench. Thank you for Charlie Kirk. Thank you for his life, for his determination, his courage, for him saying, the most important thing I want to remember is my courage to share my faith. May that be true for all of us till we see you face to face. Hallelujah. We give you praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, I want to encourage everybody today. And also, if you'd like to get more articles and recent teachings that we've done, you can go to dougstringer.com or somebodycares.org. One of my recent articles you'll see there is called Resisting the Spirit of Death, Forerunners in an Age of Compromise.
Wow.
And I want to just say this, like Elijah, There'll be a generation of forerunners that will not shrink back in the face of corruption. Like Esther, they will risk their lives to stand for truth and God's people. Like Daniel, they will walk in integrity in a hostile culture. And like John the Baptist, they will be voices crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. Be one of those who say yes to God, walk fearless, walk in faith. As the late Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole used to say, faith is believing those things you cannot see will come to pass. Fear is believing those things you cannot see will come to pass. The difference is we're a people of faith in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of God's light. We're not a people of fear, which is the kingdom of darkness. So walk in faith, be a people of faith, and know that God is working in you and through you and will touch people in your life and through your life. God bless you all.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of A Word in Season with Doug Stringer and Friends, and ask you to prayerfully consider supporting the ministry at somebodycares.org or by texting your donation amount to 805-422-7348. Please join us again for A Word in Season with Doug Stringer and Friends.